great to be here and see people sitting out here. So exciting. And it's great to see all of you at home, too. The Lord has given me a very specific word for today. And you know, when Pastor Sean got up during worship and shared the word that he did about Moses, where he said that Moses wasn't planning to meet with the Lord, but the Lord was planning to meet with him. I believe that that actually really is a word for us today, and I want us to all hear it as a congregation before I bring the word of the Lord. Because, you know, when Moses was in the wilderness, he had been in the wilderness for 40 years. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he had nothing going on. Every day was the same as the last one. And it says that in the book of Exodus that when he was walking along and he saw the burning bush, it says he said to himself, I will turn aside and see this thing and see why the bush is not consumed. Why does it tell us that? It tells us that because he could have just seen it from far away and thought, that's weird, and kept walking. All of us have a choice when God is speaking to us. God's always speaking to us. He's always trying to get our attention. I ask you today that if you hear the Lord speaking to you, be like Moses and say, let me stop what I'm doing. Let me turn aside and let me pay attention to what the Lord is trying to do in my life. Because it was not just the destiny of Moses, but the destiny of the entire nation of Israel that was at stake when Moses had to say, let me turn aside and pay attention to this. It didn't feel like that to him at that moment. He felt like he was abandoned and forgotten in the wilderness. But he did it anyway. And so I ask all of you today to give that attention to what the Lord is speaking. If you hear him speaking to you today, just give it some attention, even beyond the service today. We're going to begin in Judges chapter 6. And I'll be honest, with all the things that are going on in the world right now, all the uncertainty, all the difficulty, all the confusion, frankly, all the arguing between people and just some nasty things that people are saying and doing to each other during this time, and then just fear and isolation. It was hard for me to think about just picking up a word from, you know, our summer playlist and trying to preach on it. But it's okay because the Lord knew what we needed to hear this day, and it was part of the reading that you're going to read this week. And so this is the story of Gideon. It's in Judges 6. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to start in Judges 6, verse 1. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel, and because of Midian, the Israelites provided for themselves hiding places in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them, and they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the neighborhood of Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. For they and their livestock would come up, and they would even bring their tents as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could be counted, so that they wasted the land as they came in. And thus Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. And down in verse 11 it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Gideon answered him, tell me if this sounds familiar to you today, but sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why are we hiding in our homes? How come we're living in fear? He says, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Most of us have asked this question during the time that we've been going through right now, and the Lord has an answer for you today. The passage continues, but now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian. In verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you. He responded, but sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." If God is really with us, then why has all this happened to us? We've all been saying that, right? Like I said, they've been hiding in caves. It says they had to hide in caves, and that when they went out to plant, they just wanted to plant seeds so they could eat. They weren't trying to make war. They weren't trying to become rich. They just needed to eat. The Midianites and the Amalekites would come up and trample the seeds that they had planted so that they wouldn't grow. And they would steal or drive away all their livestock. And it says Israel was impoverished because of the Midianites. Let me tell you, this is a picture of what could happen to the church right now if we give in to the fear and to the natural view of what's happening right now. It feels like we're all hiding in our homes. We're all isolated. We can't meet together the way we want to meet. I can't, you know, it's hard. I'm a hugger. It's hard for me right now. I can't hug people and lay hands on them the way I want to. And we need that from each other. But there's fear and there's all this information and there's all these voices and there's all this fighting around us and there's hurt and pain. And right now, we're also hiding like they were hiding. But it feels like when we go to plant a seed, when we go to preach the gospel, it's so delicate. At any minute, the enemy could just come in and just trample it. That's what it feels like right now. And I'm so glad God brought us to this passage for this week because he has a word for us. If God is really with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where's the power? Where are all his wonderful deeds that we've all heard stories of? Or maybe you grew up in church and you saw miracles happen, or you traveled in the mission field and you saw people be healed, and maybe you heard these stories, you read these things in the Bible, you've heard them from people, and you're thinking, well, where is the God that does that? Why doesn't he do something right now? Listen, in this story, the angel of the Lord appears to speak to Gideon. And that anytime you see that angel of the Lord, the angel just means messenger. It's a type of Christ. It prefigures Jesus because it's God's word made manifest, visible. And the angel comes to speak with Gideon. Gideon's hiding. He's hiding in his father's wine press so that he can just get a little bit of food for his family. And the Lord appears to him there. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Listen, times when we question God the most, times when we say the most, Lord, where are you? If you're with us, then why is all this happening to us? He's right in front of us. It's just like Mary when she was in the garden. I love this passage. I mention it all the time, but she's looking into the tomb for the body of Jesus, and it's gone. And she turns, and Jesus is standing right there, and she doesn't know it. And she says, sir, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. And it's him that's talking to her. He's standing right there in front of her. On the road to Emmaus, we spent a month focusing on that. Those men are walking down the road. Jesus comes up, starts talking to him, and they say, are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened? We thought Jesus was the one, but now we're not sure. And he's standing right there in front of them. The times when we most say, Lord, where are you and what are you doing? He's standing right there. And this is a literal statement. He literally says to him, the Lord is with you. It's not a greeting. He's saying, I'm right here. The Lord's with you, Gideon. God is speaking to us in this moment. He's saying, I'm with you. I'm here. Listen, Jesus is always with us. And even, I'm so glad that even when we don't recognize him, he knows us. He's familiar with us. He stays close to us. We call him the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Look, in 1 Corinthians 13, we call that the love chapter. And it's talking about if we could love, we are partaking of the divine nature. But it says that when we're with him in eternity, it says, then we shall know fully, even as we have been fully known. He's the God who knows us. When he appears, he doesn't just appear as some esoteric vision. He says, hey, I know you. I know who you are. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He knows us. He's the God who knows us. The woman at the well in the book of John, that's what she said. Come see a man who knew everything about me. He told me everything I did. I don't know if I want anyone to meet someone that's going to tell him everything I did. So in the natural, that sounds ridiculous. But spiritually, what she was saying is, he knew me. He knew me. Nathanael, in John 1, he's sitting under the fig tree, and then he gets up and comes, and Jesus says, oh, I know you. You're an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And he says, where'd you get to know me? He said, I saw you. I saw you before you ever knew I existed. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. You think that's great? You're going to see something better than that. He sees us. It's like, you know, that reminds me of Hagar. In the Old Testament, she runs away because she's a slave. She's harshly treated. She runs away, and God speaks to her, and she names him. She says, "You're Elroy, the God who sees me. The God who sees me." She was a slave. No one else saw her. They didn't see her. And she said, "There's someone who sees me." When God appears to Gideon, that's what he's saying. He's saying, "I know you. I see you. I see what's happening to you." He's the God who knows us. But let me tell you something. Thank God it doesn't end there. It's not good enough if he just appears to us and he just knows us and he just sees us. God has a destiny for every one of us. He has a destiny for the church. So he doesn't say, "Hey, how you doing, Gideon? I know you. I know what you're going through. It's a hard time for you." He says, "Hi, mighty warrior." He names us. When God sees us, he sees who we are meant to be. He sees who he created us to be. He calls our spiritual destiny out of us. He doesn't see us where we are. He sees us where he's putting us. Let me tell you, Gideon was not a mighty warrior. We all know this. He was hiding in his father's wine press to beat out this wheat because he was hiding from the enemies. And he says, "The Lord's with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon knows he's not a mighty warrior. So he doesn't even understand this greeting. But look, the Spirit of God is calling out his spiritual identity. He calls him a mighty warrior, right? Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. I'm going to build my kingdom on a rock like you." That's before Peter betrayed him, denied him. That's before Peter denied him. He said, "Because I see what you're going to be. I see what's going to happen to you. I see who I created you to be. I don't see all that other stuff." And Gideon responds to him, I'm the lowest of the low. I'm the weakest of the weak. You know, my clan is the lowest, and I'm the weakest, and I'm the lowest. Listen, Leonard Ravenhill, the somewhat controversial prophet of the 20th century, he said, "God doesn't call us to do what we can. He calls us to do what we can't. He calls us to do what we can't. Because he's the one that gives us the power to do it." That's why he said, "You're a mighty warrior." Oh, you're not going to become a mighty warrior by yourself. But he's going to give us the power to do the things that he calls us to do. In verse 16, he says to Gideon, "I will be with you and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." Listen, this is the point. When we hear God calling us, just like we talked about Moses, he said, "I'm going to turn aside and see what's happening over here." When we hear God calling us, this is the point in our walk when we're reborn. It says in the book of John, born from above. Some people say born again, but it really says born from above. When you're reborn and God begins to forge in you your spiritual destiny. It says in John 1, to all who believed, he gave what? Power. Power to be children of God, to be like him. We can't do that on our own. He has to give us the power to do it. And the first step in this process with Gideon to become a mighty warrior, to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of Midian. We see in verse 25 and 26, it says, that night, that's it, because he could have just said, "Well, mighty warrior, I'll be with you. Let's go into battle." But that night, the Lord appeared to him again and said to him, listen to me, this is in verse 25, "Take your father's bull, the second bull 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father." Tear down the altar that belongs to your father. "And cut down the sacred pole that's beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold." Listen, God will. He has a destiny for every single one of us. He will empower us to do what we could never do in our own strength. He'll make us able to stand when we thought we could never stand. He'll give you victory in a place where you thought you were defeated forever. But first, we got to tear down what's in his way. We got to tear down what we're relying on that's not him. We got to tear down what we were raised to believe is the thing that's going to get us through. That's not God. He said, tear down the altar of Baal. He didn't say tear down the altar of Baal that's in the center of the town and everybody worships. He said, oh no, the one that belongs to your father. The one you grew up looking at. Let me ask you today, and understand me, this is not a word of condemnation. This isn't a hard word. This is a word about freedom. The Lord says, you're being held back. I just want you to put it aside. It only took one night. It wasn't a big, long process. He just cut it down and replaced it with an altar to God. Then he got right to work. What have you inherited? What are you trying to bring with you to fight the fight that you're dealing with right now? What are you relying on that you were told, well, this is just part of how we do it? Look, the woman at the well, she meets Jesus, and he says, oh, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask me for the living water. And she says, are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? Right? She goes back to, this is my identity. This is my identity. I'm Jacob's child. I am a descendant of Jacob. And he says, all of Jacob's children come back to this well, and they keep getting thirsty and having to come back. All of my children, they take the living water, and they're never thirsty again. Right? Are you greater, in John 8, are you greater than our father Abraham? He died. And he said, let me tell you something. Before Abraham was, I am. You're talking about Abraham, like, don't say to yourself, I have Abraham as my father. He's saying, you're talking about this life. I'm offering you eternal life. God is offering us something eternal. He's offering us something supernatural. He's offering us the impossible, but we're holding on to the finite and the natural and the familiar. Again, this is not a word of condemnation. This is not supposed to make you feel bad. This is a beautiful word. It's good news. All you got to do is get rid of it, let go of it, and let God begin to take over. Look, it wasn't until Gideon tore down his father's altar and everybody saw it the next day that it says in verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and all the armies of God assembled. The Spirit of the Lord could not take possession of Gideon. He could not begin the process of being empowered by God to become a mighty warrior until he tore down that altar that belonged to his father. And listen, we don't just tear it down. He said, tear down that altar and do what? Don't just leave a big empty hole there. Look, people in our culture all the time talk about feeling empty and carrying emptiness with us. That's why, because we know how to tear stuff down, but we've got to be filled back up. We have to be filled back up. Once he tore it down, he put up an altar to God, and the Spirit of the Lord filled him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way he could become the warrior that God had called his spiritual destiny to be. I don't want to take too much time because I want to be able to pray with you, but listen, Jesus taught us in Luke 11. He said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it wanders through the waterless regions looking for a resting place and not finding any, it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, finds it swept, put in order, it's empty. It's empty. So it can be refilled. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and live there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. Listen, I grew up listening to preachers say things like, you got to get this, you got to take these idols out of your heart, you got to be, I want to tell you, I would not be doing you any kind of favor if that's all I was telling you. Let go of that thing and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because otherwise you're empty, and Lord knows what else is going to come in to take the place of the thing that you put down. But once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power to overcome that. You have the power to fulfill your spiritual destiny, the destiny that God has for you. To live, to drink the living water, so you don't have to keep coming back to the well of your fathers that makes you stay thirsty over and over again. Instead, you're filled with living water. Finally, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we begin to walk in our spiritual identity. That's what happened to Gideon. And then, this is the best news of the day. God just does it for us. He says, all right, that's too many soldiers. Get rid of them. Okay, get rid of them. Okay, get rid of them. So first he strips away what Gideon is bringing with him, that altar that his father had. And then he fills him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, all right, but and then he says in chapter 7, verse 2, he says, I only want you to take 300 men with you, because otherwise Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, my own hand has delivered me. He's saying, don't even rely on yourself. Just rely on me. Just let me do it. With these 300, I'll deliver the entire nation of Israel. He is saying, don't rely on the gods of your fathers, but don't rely on yourself either. You don't have to do it. I'm going to do it for you. You only have to stand there. It's like he said to Moses and the Israelites, just stand there while I deliver you. The Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever, because I'm going to wipe them away. You don't have to do anything. Just stand there and watch me do it. This is the best news of the day. And listen, the Holy Spirit is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't earn it. You receive. He said, receive the Holy Spirit, right? He breathed on them and said, receive. You can't receive something you worked for. That's earned. He's saying, just receive it. It's a gift. You just have to make room for it and take it in. You just got to have room for the Lord. So today, I want to take some time with you, and I want to do two things. And if you're at home with us, you can just do this right there where you are. And listen, you know, we have a unique opportunity right now because however much I love laying hands on people and having them come up and things like that, sometimes when we receive the Holy Spirit or when we are in a church service like this and God begins to do a work in us, or even if we hear it, you know, we can go away and we can question it because we can say, well, you know, it was a very emotional time and there was a lot of things going on and it was dramatic. The fact that you have to sit in your seat to do this means you know for sure who it is that's talking to you. It's the God who knows you. He sees you in a way that I never can, and no one that can pray for you. I want to pray for you, and I have my mask up here. If you want to come up here and get prayed, I'll put it on, I promise. And I'll do what I need to do to be able to minister to you. But listen, God knows you. He's the God who sees you. And he wants to work on you right now. He wants to show you. Today, it's very simple. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. And if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to kneel down, do whatever it is that makes you comfortable. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to take some time with the Lord and ask him to show you what is left, like Gideon had to tear down the altar that belonged to his father. What can you tear down so that he has room? So that he has room to work, to fill you with his power and empower you to do what it is that he's called you to do, especially in this moment in time, to minister to other people so that your crops can be fruitful again, so you could stop hiding in those caves, so we can come out and we can be a mighty warrior for the Lord during this time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how you know us, for how you love us. And Lord, I just commit all these who are watching online and listening and all who are sitting here and myself, Lord, we come to you today with open hands and we say, what is it that we can tear down? Because we want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We want to have the power to do what it is that you're doing. And we thank you for the privilege that we get to participate in the victory of your body that you are doing in this moment, in this hour, in this time that everyone else is afraid and scared, Lord, that we could have courage because we're filled with your power. And so right now, wherever you're sitting or if you're in your home, I just want you to take whatever posture you need to take, and I want you to take some time with the Lord. And I want you to just ask him to show you what is that thing that you need to tear down. Listen, for some of you, it's a place where someone hurt you. It's not necessarily a thing that you're worshiping, but sometimes we can allow ourselves to be defined by pain from our past. We can allow ourselves to be defined, Lord, by these things that are hurting us. And God wants you to just see that differently. He wants you to just give it to him and let him replace it with healing. And sometimes it's that we wish things were the way they were in former times. We remember another time. And God's saying, I have something better for you. I have something new for you. Don't stay there. Move up here with me. Just leave those things behind. Sometimes we're just holding on to the old, this is what I was taught. Isn't this true? I don't really like it, but I'm bringing it with me. And the Lord's saying, just be released from that thing. Whatever it is, it's holding you back. It wasn't for me. He wants you to be free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm. Do not submit again to that yoke of slavery. So just take this time with the Lord. I'm going to give you a few minutes. I do want to say if you're here, if you're listening at home and you feel like you've never really given your heart to Jesus, you hear what I'm saying. Maybe you grew up in church, these things are familiar to you, but you know it's time for you to put away your you're just bringing the religion of your parents or of your upbringing with you, and it's time to put that away and take it for yourself and come before the Lord for yourself. And today the Lord is appearing to you just like he did to Gideon, and he's saying, I'm with you. The Lord is with you. And you can be mighty by his power. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to act like anything or look like anyone. You can just receive the Holy Spirit from him. If that's you today, I just want you to bow your head before the Lord and say, Lord, I love you. I have never followed you up to now on my own, but I trust you with my life. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the places where I put up altars to things that were not you. And now I tear those things down. Ask your grace to come in and make me over anew. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me feel your presence and hear your voice speaking to me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now that we've taken this time to tear down the things that might be in the way, we just want to take a few minutes to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to do anything that he would do or to speak what he would have to speak right now.
Going to stay in the presence of the Lord. I've asked one of our elders, King Goldman, to come join us up as well. Margo, I'm going to come over this one. Yeah. Margo, I'm so thankful for that word. I know we're blessed by that word today, everybody online. And that word is so true that and this is the way the Lord's told me about it. It's like, Sean, I'm not interested in patching up the old. I'm not interested in patching up the old. I am calling the church at large and my people to be willing to be transformed to be what they have never been before. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted us to have a moment as a church family, both here and online, to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us in a new way. And so we're just going to take a few moments to do that. I know that online, when we get into these moments, this can be hard to engage. So first of all, I want to encourage you, would you please reach out, cornerstone.ag/connect. Would you please not just consume this morning, but would you take a moment to reach out and connect with us and walk in agreement? Just what's the Lord doing in your life? How can we pray? What are you saying yes to? Please take a moment to do that. And then also for all of us here, and online, we're going to take a few moments. We're going to finish service just saying, Holy Spirit, come on, Lord, we need you. We don't need you to patch up the old. We want to be what you want us to be. We want to fill us with your Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to take a moment, us three up here, we're going to lead in prayer for a few moments. You can kneel where you're at and find a place to just make an altar. If you can figure out the 6-foot rule around here, you're fine to do it. We're not going to get overly, we're focusing on the Lord, okay? So if it's easier just to kneel where you are and just say yes to the Lord, feel free to do it right where you are. At home, I just want to say one of the reasons we're in this season that's so different is because God wants to penetrate our homes with the gospel. He wants us to praise the Lord, not the voice, our voice saying that, not just when we're in a church. Our homes need to hear us praising the Lord and crying out so that you're where you're supposed to be this morning, in this moment, okay? And so we don't have a script here. We just got a moment. I know our elder King Goldman. I know this is the cry you've been talking about, King. You've been talking about this cry. And so would you start us off in prayer? Would you just ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us? And church family, would you just kind of, this isn't a watch moment. This isn't where are we in service moment. This is a we're meeting with God moment, okay? And let's just press in together as a church family. King, would you just begin that prayer for us right now? Praise your holy name.
Lord of hosts, Abba Father, God, we're here We're here in this place, and God, we're asking you in the name of Jesus. We're asking you in the name of the only begotten, the one who said that if we ask anything in his name, that he will give. God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you allow us, oh God, that you give us the Holy Spirit. God, I'm asking you, oh God, to forgive us of our sin, our trespasses, God. God, forgive us, oh God, for our reluctance, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. But God, we want to be your people and we want you to be our God. So God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, oh God, to wipe all the old away, God. All the old, oh God, not what I did, not what I failed to do, oh God. But God, we're asking right now, oh God, we're asking for redemption, God. We're asking for you to deem this thing good again. God, we're asking, oh God. God, we're asking that you release your spirit upon all flesh. God, those who have been faithful, oh God. Those who have been faithful. Some of us haven't been faithful, God. But those who have been faithful, oh God. Those who have been crying out, oh God. Those who need a change, God. We're asking you in the name of Jesus. God, to let them, at least let them experience the kingdom. That it may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we ask you that you impregnate us. That holiness be conceived. That it give forth birth to righteousness. God, I'm asking you, please. Lord, please.
Lord God, thank you so much for your presence in this place. Lord, thank you that even when the world is hiding in caves, Lord, and afraid to plant seed, Lord, you will just keep on planting, Lord. You call us out from the place where we're hiding and say, I'm with you, mighty warriors. Lord God, I pray that in this moment that your presence would be with us in a way that we could feel, that we would see you, that we would say, I know the one that's speaking to me. It's the God that knows me, the God that sees me. He knew me and saw me before I knew him. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we're fully known. But Lord, we ask now that you would impart your spirit to us. Lord, even as we've torn down to make way, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit. We receive your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Speak to your people. Lead us, Lord, into whatever is coming next by the power of your Holy Spirit and by your wisdom and righteousness, Lord God.